First of all, a very blessed fourth Sunday of Advent to you all, and also welcome to all of our guests. I see many new faces this morning, so welcome to Christ the King. We're happy that you joined us this morning. If you remember, once again, our gospel changes focus, right? If you remember correctly, on the first Sunday of Advent, the gospel focuses on the second coming of Christ, the final coming, right? When he comes again in glory at the end of time, in judgment, to judge the living and the dead. And then on the second and third Sundays of Advent, the gospel focuses more on St. John the Baptist, right? That mysterious character that's in the desert. He's wearing camel's hair and a leather belt, feeding on locusts and wild honey. He's the one that points not to himself, but says, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. One is coming after me, whom I'm not worthy to untie the straps of his sandals." And so then on the fourth Sunday of Advent, our gospel shifts once again. And it focuses on, we're a few days from Christmas, focuses on the virginal conception of Jesus by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Blessed Mother. And it focuses on the dream of Saint Joseph, when Joseph is visited by an angel. So this morning, briefly, I'd like to draw your attention to two details. The first is in the first line of the gospel. The gospel says, when his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it speaks about the time of Joseph and Mary's betrothal, and that's important because sometimes we think of betrothal as like the same thing as engagement, and it's very, very different, okay? In the first century Jewish culture, marriage was a two-step ceremony, okay? So betrothal was that first step. Betrothal is a marriage covenant. So Joseph and Mary would have referred to each other as husband and wife. This was a relationship that was legally binding, okay? Yet for a first century Jewish bride and groom, it was before they lived together, right? So the marriage had not yet been consummated. So after betrothal, before marriage, betrothal could have been terminated either by death or by divorce. And the husband's duty at the time of betrothal was to go and prepare a home for his wife and for his family, which would have been very apt. You know, Joseph, that would have been right up his alley, right, as a carpenter. And so the marriage ceremony was the second step, and it lasted over 7 days, and it ended with this marriage procession with the bride and groom, and ended with the husband taking his wife into his home. And so that's why the gospel ends today. It says, when Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. So their marriage, even though their marriage was not consummated, their marriage was complete. So that's the first thing to understand, this context of betrothal. But the second detail that I'd like to just draw your attention to is this. I think it's one of the most mysterious passages in all of Scripture. I've always been puzzled by it, especially when I heard it like growing up. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Okay, so how do we understand this? How's this interpreted? The first thing that what the gospel tells us, what does it tell us about Joseph? It tells us that Joseph is a righteous man, and that's important. Some translations of Scripture say that Joseph is a just man. And what this means, whenever someone in Scripture is called righteous or just, it means that they carry out the law of Moses. They obey the law perfectly. Okay? So St. Joseph is a man of moral, of sterling moral character, okay? So why then would he want to remove himself or send her away quietly or divorce her quietly? In the tradition, there's really three interpretations of this scripture passage, why St. Joseph decides to put Mary away or divorce her quietly. And the first two, I'll kind of go through these. The first one is that there's this interpretation out there. I don't think it's very good, to be honest, but there's this interpretation out there that of this interpretation of suspicion, that Joseph suspected Mary of adultery, of infidelity, and decides to end the betrothal for this reason. However, this interpretation really doesn't make a whole lot of sense because it also tells us that Joseph is a righteous man, okay? So if Joseph carries out the law of Moses perfectly, he would have had to turn Mary in for her crime that she committed. And the crime of adultery in first century Judaism was punishable by stoning, okay? So that whole law, that theory of suspicion, I don't buy it. So the second interpretation is some will put forward that Joseph was perplexed, that Joseph, he didn't suspect Mary of infidelity, but that he found the situation inexplicable. He was dumbfounded. So Joseph is like, I don't understand what's going on. I'm going to get out of here, right? Okay, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. But some would interpret it that way. I think the strongest interpretation is one put forward by Pope John Paul II. Pope John Paul II, when he writes about Joseph, St. John Paul II interprets this passage in terms of St. Joseph's reverence. And this is how he says. He says that Joseph understood Mary's pregnancy, that her pregnancy was miraculous, that she had conceived the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so what Joseph does is Joseph decides to remove himself from the situation because of his own unworthiness to be so close and so involved so intimately in the Lord's work. And so the decision to separate himself or to separate quietly from her is really to have great reverence for the mystery within her. So when the angel appears to Joseph, and what does the angel say to him? Do not be afraid to do what? To take Mary as your wife, because the babe conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And so what the angel is urging St. Joseph to do is to put aside all fears that stand in the way of fulfilling his vocation. His vocation, and what is his vocation? Think about this. To be the earthly father of Jesus. To be a human father to the Son of God, if you can imagine. John Paul II will also go on saying that God the Father chose St. Joseph because he chose a father most like himself for his divine Son. And so when we call St. Joseph, when the scripture calls him righteous or just, it's because of his deep humility and his awesome reverence for the works of God. And so friends, as we approach Christmas with hearts full of expectation and joy, let's go to St. Joseph. He's a powerful intercessor. And let's ask him specifically for this grace. Let's ask him that, like him, that we may not fear what God has planned for us. To not fear God's personal plan for us. and that we may also recognize that God can and desires to do awesome things in us. He plans to do awesome things with us if we allow him to work in and through us, and if we are like Saint Joseph and merely say yes to him. May it be so. Amen.